This episode is brought to you by Boncharge. Are you stressed out? Do your muscles ache? Are you looking for a way to get better sleep? Well then, Boncharge is for you. What's Boncharge? Boncharge is a company that makes an infrared sleeping bag that is serving as a sauna. I'll say that again. It's an infrared sleeping bag that actually acts as an in-home sauna. You plug it in, it heats up, you lay down inside of it, you do absolutely nothing, you get a sick sweat session in, you calm down, you decompress, life is easy. You get out, you dry off, you unplug it, you dry your infrared, your little sleeping bag off, you put it away, and you're done. If you want to get the benefits of this all in your house without having to go to a spa, without having to go to a resort, or go to some nasty, disgusting gym and get into their sauna that you don't even know how well they're cleaning it, just go. I'm gonna just not even going to give you a website. Just Google Boncharge. That's Boncharge. That's Boncharge. And if you put in the code Mahoney, Mahoney, that's Mahoney, you will get 15% savings. If you can't remember any of this, don't worry. It'll be in the show notes. Just click on the link right in the show notes. All right, enjoy the rest of your day. Bye. Welcome to another episode of 6 Minute Monday, where I give you 6 tips and tricks to make you more efficient and effective in the weight room, the boardroom, and on a football field. And I'm going to give you a recap of what happened at this week's Tag Team Challenge. So here we go. Instead of the normal 6 tips and tricks, this week, I'm going to give you 6 tips and tricks on how to prepare effectively for how to train while you are on a business trip. So this week, I'm on a business trip to Costa Rica. I wanted to make sure I was totally prepared. If this audio sounds a little grainy or a little low, it's because I'm putting this one out from the hotel room at 6 a.m. Costa Rica time, and I don't want to be too loud and wake people up in rooms next to me. So here are the 6 things that I did to prepare. Number one, I brought packages of my multivitamins, the ones I got from Dr. Tom. For me, that is the foundation. That is the basis. I don't know how well I'm going to be eating while I'm here. I'm going to try to eat clean, but I feel like if I get those multivitamins in, I got a fighting chance. Number two, I brought with me 12 packets of LMNT. Yeah, I'm going to be here for 7 days. I brought 12 packets of Element. Why? Because one, I believe being on a plane dehydrates you. I'll come back to that in a minute. And two, I'm not 100% sure or not if I'm going to be having a couple of drinks at after dinner meetings with coworkers, trying to be social. So I don't know, but I brought that Element just in case. Number three, I brought with me, as always, my bands and my jump rope. Why? Because I'm not 100% sure what the gym scenario is going to be like. Now, look, I was able to look online and see what the gym is like in the hotel, but I just don't know how many people are going to be in there. Who's going to be using the machines in front of me? Who's going to be using the floor around me? So I want to make sure that I have an option or a plan B or a plan C in case I cannot effectively work out with the materials they have in the gym. Tip number four was I brought a full bag of protein unopened, an unopened bag of protein. So why did I do that? Well, one, sometimes if you bring open protein, I don't know why, but TSA will open up your bag and peel through it. So that was one thing that made it a little safer and easier for me to travel. And two, this full bag, it's going to give me another option in case my meals are not up to par with what I need to get my nutrition levels in. I can always fall back on that full bag of protein. Thing number five, while on the plane, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. So every time that flight attendant came by and asked me if I wanted a drink, yes, I'd like a glass of water. Yes, I'd like a glass of water. I know people like to unwind with a couple of alcoholic beverages on a plane. That's all well and good. But humidity levels on a plane, I believe, are super low. I believe it will dehydrate you. So that is why I wanted to hydrate, hydrate, hydrate on the plane. And then my last tip is that when you get off that plane, go to your hotel room, unpack your bags right away, and then go right to the gym. So that's exactly what I did. I unpacked my bag, got moving around a little bit, and went right to the gym. I've been sitting on a plane for 5 hours. I'm sitting in an airport for 2 hours, like 7-8 hours of just sitting around. I wanted to get my body moving. I wanted to get a good sweat session in. I wanted to also get a lay of the land of the gym while I was there. So go immediately work out. So those are my 6 tips and tricks for you if you're going on vacation, if you're going on a business trip, to give you a fighting chance to not fall off the wagon, off the fitness wagon, while you were on this trip. Just because you're going away doesn't mean you have to let everything else go to hell. All right, now let's get into what happened at this weekend's Tag Team Challenge. So once again, we had controversy on this Tag Team Challenge. I'm really looking for a week where there wasn't controversy And people, they think I like chaos, and they think I like the controversy, and sometimes I do. But I just like it where at the end of an event, there wasn't extreme controversy, where half the people weren't leaving the field pissed off and hating my guts. Just once. I'm not saying I don't want it all the time, but just once. Anyway, here's what happened at this weekend's Tag Team Challenge. What is the drill? We have 9 cones set up in a grid. In front of each one of those cones, there is a puzzle piece. 6 of those puzzle pieces are matches, so that means that there are 3 sets of 2, they are pairs, and there are 3 other puzzle pieces that are not matches. What has to happen is that someone has to take a prowler, push it around one of those cones. When they do, they effectively kill that puzzle piece, and then they bring that prowler all the way back to the start line. Then another person goes, so the first person's a hunter, the next person goes, they are the gatherer. They're going to go pick up the kill and bring it back to a designated area where they put that puzzle piece down. When they have made 3 pairs, so that's 3 pairs of 2, that they've picked up 6 cards that match, they are done. If you are doing the math, that means there are 3 cards that are not matches, and they are a complete and total waste of your time and energy to push that prowler around. So we let the other team set up the puzzle pieces. There was a little bit of game theory in there. Are you going to put the puzzle pieces close? Are you going to put the puzzle pieces far away? Those cones were in a 3x3 grid. The first cone was 5 yards away from the start line. The second cone was 15 yards away from the start line. The third cone was 25 yards away from the start line. So think about this. Your energy level, the ground was scorched earth. Super dry. We only had a 45 on each side of that prowler. It was really hard to move. So the more times you got to move this thing, the more times you're going to get fatigued. And if you got to go all the way to that 25-yard cone and it's not a match, and you got to go all the way back, it is just a nightmare. That's 50 yards of a prowler push. That is just a nightmare. So you had to strategically think about where you were going to place these puzzle pieces. The other caveat to this system was that I made a runway or a doorway, whatever you want to call it, where the prowler had to start and end and where the gatherer had to start his run and end. I wanted people to have to go through that runway to make sure that people were not cheating on taking a shortcut to the cones that they were going to, and also to make it a clear delineation of when each guy should start and the other guy should stop. There was no tags. It was, hey, when this guy passes you or passes those cones, you are allowed to go. That was a subtle caveat. Maybe that was a big caveat. I don't know, but it was a rule of engagement. So the Golden Company, they had won last week, so they get to choose who goes first. They choose the dudes. The Golden Company sets up the puzzle pieces. The dudes go first. And the dudes only, I believe they only have 5 guys. Maybe they have 6. I think they had 6 guys. And they have 6 guys, and their strategy is to go from the shortest cones to the start line all the way back to the furthest cones. That was their strategy. And they do pretty well, but you can see they're starting to fatigue, because when you only have 6 guys, there's less rest, and there's literally it's not like they have enough time in between one guy going and another guy going. There's basically 2 guys going at the same time, a hunter and a gatherer, a hunter and a gatherer. While they may not be going simultaneously, they're both going in each leg of that turn to go get those puzzle pieces. And they're doing well, but they seem to have problems turning that prowler around the cone because it's so dry, and if they have knocked over the cone, you got to go pick it back up, and you don't want to do that. The only other flaw that I saw them make was that one time, Jimmy Yuski runs outside the cone. Everybody's screaming, we got to make him go run back inside the cone to be the gatherer that he is. So he has to run back inside the cone. It takes some seconds off their time, and they finish in 306.95. I'll repeat that again, 306.95. That's 3 minutes, 6 seconds, 0.95. I say it out loud, it's 306.95. Shalacy turns to me and says, Coach, what about Sarno being late? Ooh, forgot about Sarno being late. So Sarno was late. He was about 10, 12 minutes late. He did text the group and me on the way there saying he was about 10 to 12 minutes late. But, I'll give one more but for effect. But there were other weeks where he was late and I did not give anyone penalties. There were other weeks where he was late and I just let it go. One time, or maybe 2 times, his fiance was driving, and one time Mulligan had gotten into a car accident. I don't know if it had caused Sarno to not be able to get there on time because he was taking the same road. But this time was the 3rd or the 4th time it happened. I had to implement a penalty also because the other team was asking for it. So I said, okay, Sarno was late. I am tacking on a 5-second penalty. So it's now 311.95. That is your time. 311.95 is your time. So now The Golden Company is up. The dudes set up their pieces. Right before they're about to go, Yusuke decides that he's going to start reshuffling the cards. The guy is he's getting in the head of the other team. He's reshuffling cards. So now, the Golden Company goes, and their strategy is the exact opposite. They're going to start with the high to low. They're going to go to the 25-yard cones first and bring them back. Then, so they do that. And then I think midway through, they say, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. Then they go to the 5-yard cones and back. And they too, like the dudes. The dudes had to pick up all 9 cards. So they didn't get any matches early. They had to pick up all 9 cards. The same thing for the Golden Company. They also had to pick up all 9 cards. Now, the Golden Company had 8 guys. So they were a little more fresh than the dudes. And the Golden Company seemed to do a little bit better of a job of going around those cones without the Prowler getting stuck in the scorched earth. So you take in a little bit of dexterity around the cones, and you take in a little bit less of fatigue, and it looked like the Golden Company was completely and totally destroying the dudes. But, all of a sudden, they had 3 penalties in a row. They had a guy leave early. They had another guy leave early. And then another guy go outside the cone. All in a row. It almost looked like they were throwing the event. They get down to that last cone, that last puzzle piece, and they finish in 309.20. I announce it, 309.20. And both teams cheer. And I am immediately baffled. Why are both teams cheering? So the dudes think they won, and the Golden Company think they won. And now I'm utterly confused. Did the dudes forget about the 5-second penalty? Oh, no, they didn't. The dudes, for some reason, thought I said that they finished in 303.85. 303.85, and the penalty gives them 303.95. And they think that the 5-second penalty put them at 308.95, making them the winners. But that was not the case. And then we got into a massive dispute again. Did I say 306.95? Did I say 303.95? What was this dispute? So without the Sarno penalty, the dudes win. With the Sarno penalty, the dudes lose. But for whatever reason, the dudes did not hear me say 306.95. And it boggles my mind how we have 14 people there. And 8 of them hear 306.95. And 6 of them hear 303.95. It boggles my mind. I don't know. We probably need some sort of recording. We probably need to film this stuff. I am not infallible. I know that. But I do remember. Well, now I don't know what. But if I had to bet my life on it, I would say that I said 306.95. I said 311.95. And Shalacy brought up a good point post-challenge. Why would his team cheer if I said 303.95? Why would they cheer? So why were both teams cheering? You'll never know. This would be a great Netflix special. I don't know. But now what I do know is that the entirety of the dudes hate me. They are, this is unfair. You just want the Golden Company to win. All you do is screw us over. Okay. Which leads to the next part of the challenge. So the next part of the challenge is the bro challenge. It's the bro challenge. I explained what the bro challenge was going to be in last week's podcast. I also explained what this challenge was going to be in last week's podcast. And as we laid out the challenge, there were some guys that had absolutely no clue at all of what the challenge was going to be. And then they had no clue of what the bro challenge was going to be. But I'm telling you these things so that you got to get a fighting chance to understand it before we get there. These are clues. I'm throwing clues out. Some guys really listen to the clues. Some guys don't listen at all. So it's your own fault if you don't listen to the clues. So with the bro challenge, what happens is the winning team picks 2 people from the losing team. They're going to compete head-to-head, but they get to choose a bro to help them compete. And that bro can be from either team, your own team or the other team. The only stipulation is that bro cannot have 2 losses. So if that bro already has 2 head-to-head losses, they're out. You could pick any other bro you want to be on your team. Great. The other thing is that the challenge would be a slightly modified version of what we did the first time. So now instead of 3x3 grid, we have a 3x2 grid. They're all the things at the 25-yard mark are gone. All those cones are gone. And I just have to make 2 pairs of 2. So there's going to be 6 cones. There's 2 pairs of 2. And then there's 2 random puzzle pieces out there for you to pick up and waste your time on. So the other team, the Golden Company, picks 2 guys. They pick Wallen and Galley. Wallen gets to pick a dude. I'm being a bro. Galley gets to pick a bro. They elect to let Wallen pick his bro first. Wallen wisely picks Sean Mulligan from the other team. Let me say this. Before they even pick, they have a little meeting. This is the dudes. They have a meeting of who they should be picking. Wallen comes out and says he's going to pick Sean Mulligan from the other team. Now, why did I say wisely? I say wisely because Sean Mulligan looked like a man amongst men during the training. We were getting gassed. The ground was so dry. People were just dropping after they did our workout. This is even before the challenge. But Sean Mulligan looked unfazed. He looked like he was hopped up on something. I would have picked him. Regardless of whose team he was on, I would have picked Sean Mulligan to go in this event. It was a great thought by Wallen. He makes the pick, and Yuski says, no, come back. He calls Wallen over, and while he's talking to Wallen, Galley picks Alberino, like also another guy from the other team. He calls Wallen over. Wallen says, I'm changing my pick. I'm picking Weintraub. Now everybody's freaking out. He already made his pick. Don't let him pick again. He said, fine. Wallen, you get Weintraub, who also happens to be on the other team. So Wallen picks Weintraub. Galley picks Alberino, a.k.a. A-Bomb. We're about to go. Yuski calls Wallen over again. They get into a long discussion, and Yuski says, all right, well, he's gonna repick. He's going to pick Mulligan, or he's going to pick again. I'm like, no, we've already made the picks. There's too much controversy. We're going. Yuski says, you're just being stubborn, coach. You're being stubborn. He said, no, he's already changed his mind. We made the pick. He made the pick. Okay, Wallen, now you get to pick if you want to go first or second. First or second. So Wallen says he wants to go first. Great. In fact, I think maybe Galley got to pick who he wanted as his partner first. Maybe that was the case. Wallen got to pick if he wanted to go first or second in this event. He picks first. Why? I don't know. Well, why I do know, he said to me afterwards, he just wanted to get it over with. But his partner, Weintraub, was shot from the actual challenge. If you remember, the dudes went first, the Golden Company went second, so Weintraub is completely shot from the actual challenge. And they go. And I thought Wallen was throwing it because he was going so slowly. But then I saw Weintraub going. He was going slowly. So they both looked like they were dead to the world. And it took them all six turns to get those two matches. It took them all six turns. Again, there was all wasted effort. There was not one time where they were able to skip a turn. And they finished in 2 minutes and 46 seconds. So next up, Galley, Alberino. They're the next guys up. They go and they look a hell of a lot faster, and they look like they are completely in sync. They look like some of the best tag team partners I've ever seen. They're communicating, they're talking, they're giving each other breaks. And they, even though they have to go all six turns too, they finish in 1 minute and 46 seconds. That's a full minute faster than the other team. A full minute faster. So they win. This now hands Weintraub his second loss. He is officially eliminated from head-to-head challenges. It also handed Wallen his second loss. He is officially eliminated in head-to-head challenges. Now, things to note. Yuski, in some way, shape, or form, seemed like he was running the show here. Seemed like he was pulling all the strings. In the middle of Wallen's challenge with Weintraub, they're going. He's talking to Wallen. He goes over and talks to him. We don't know what he said. Wallen's claiming he doesn't know what he said. So Yuski talks to him, then walks off the field, gets in his car, and drives away. And everyone is thinking, who is this guy? Who is this Kaiser Sose? Who is this mastermind? And what did he just make happen? We don't even know. We'll never know. But now we all know that we're all scared to death of Jimmy Yuski and the mind games that he plays. Either way, Wallen's eliminated. Weintraub's eliminated. And in thinking, I don't know if this was their decision in the Bro Challenge, but don't take people from your own team. Take people from the other team who have one loss already. And if they lose, they are eliminated from head-to-head challenges. I think that was their thought. Now back to the dudes, why did they pick Galley? Why did they pick Wallen? I don't know. My thought is they pick Galley because he's already in first place. He already has the most points, and they feel like they're just saying, forget it, just let him be. He's going to make the playoffs anyway, and there's no point of stopping him. I don't know. I don't want to give away everybody's trade secrets, but these are my guesses. So that is what happened at this weekend's Tag Team Challenge. Now next week, there is no Tag Team Challenge. Next week, we are doing a Money in the Bank Challenge. I'm going to explain what the Money in the Bank Challenge is right now so that people don't get confused and there's no controversy. This is what it is. First of all, when you get the money, if you win the Money in the Bank Challenge, you get a belt. I'm going to hand you a Money in the Bank belt. With that comes power. With that comes, you can do anything you want with that belt, meaning you could step in on a challenge. You can change who the challenges are. You could do whatever you want. My one rule is that you can't hurt anyone else. You can't make someone sick. You can't make someone throw up. You can't rob them. But you can do whatever you want with that belt as long as I clear it. So I will hand you that belt after you win that Money in the Bank challenge next week. So how's it going to work? I'm going to take three guys, Joe Derradita, Steve Armato, Tom Galley. These are the guys with the highest attendance. And I'm going to let them pick who they want with them in a heat. What's a heat? So what's going to happen is we're going to have three groups, and those groups are going to do a set of 20-yard sliders every minute on the minute. The person who comes in last place is out. So let's just say there's four guys on a group. The clock starts. They go. Whoever comes in last place for a 20-yard slider, they're out. Now there's three guys left. In 1 minute, they go again. 20-yard slider. The guy who comes in last place, he's out. Now there's two guys left. 1 minute hits again. We do a 20-yard slider. The guy that comes in last place, he's out. And that's how that heat would work. We're going to do that in three different heats. One with Armato's group, one with Joe Derradita's group, one with Galley's group. And then the winner of those three heats, they're going to go head-to-head, and we're going to repeat that process again. So that is what the challenge is going to be. Now, who gets to decide, or how do we decide who's in everyone's heat? Good question. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a die. I have a new die all ready to go. And there's going to be options on the dice. So we're going to roll the dice. And when we roll the dice, there's going to be something that says like order. Oh, you get to pick the order of which heat goes first, right? Another group gets to pick another person who rolls the dice. If they get something that says first, it means they get the first pick. I get to get the first pick in this heat. And then the next thing is maybe something says SL, single leg. I get to pick one person in one of the heats, in any heat I want that is in my heat, that they get to go with a single leg on the slider. So they're going to have options here. But regardless, if someone gets to pick first, right, they get to pick first. They get to pick anyone they want in their heat. And the next guy picks who he wants in his heat. And then the next guy picks who he wants in his heat. Essentially, you're trying to pick people that you think you can beat. Yeah, there's an element to this, right? Maybe it's a little insulting. Maybe it's strategic. I don't know. So you pick a guy in your heat that you think you can beat. Then we go through this cycle again. So say Derradita picks first, Armato picks second, Galley picks third. And let's just say Derradita picked me first in his heat. So now Derradita picked me. Now I get to pick the next person in my heat. So I pick somebody I think I can beat. Yeah, we're sizing each other up here, people. We're sizing each other up. So there's a lot of strategy here. Some of it's going to come down to the roll of the dice. Some of it's going to come down to who you pick in your heat. And some of it may come down to the order in which your heats go. Because if your heat goes last, even if you win, guess what? We're going again right after that in the winner's bracket. All right, people, that is it. These are all the clues I'm willing to give out for right now. I will talk to you all when I get back and attack your Monday. Bye. This episode is brought to you by Dr. Rob. Who's Dr. Rob? He's the man who saved me. I was in excruciating pain, and within 5 minutes, he had me up and sprinting again like I was a young buck. Now, if you feel anything like I felt, if you can barely get out of bed in the morning, if you wake up and you feel like you got hit by a truck, if you can hardly put your shoes on, this is a guy you need to go see. Who's Dr. Rob? He's a certified athletic trainer. He's a chiropractor. He worked in the NFL. Again. This is not something that you should take lightly. If you are in pain, do not hesitate. Go out and see him. To get in touch with Dr. Rob, go on Instagram. Go to @Dr, that's D-R, dot Rob, R-O-B, dot Miljanica, M-I-N-L-I-N-I-C-A. If you tell him that you are from Advanced Training, you will get a free Normatec boot recovery. Once again, do not hesitate. Go contact him today.